We're talking today with James Wirthline, who's a producer from Kremlin, Oklahoma, in the north central part of our state, and on the United Sorghum Checkoff Board. James, first of all, you've been on the board for a couple of years now?
I've been on just since August.
Okay.
I'm fairly new to this position. I took over for Louise Rigdon from Blackwell, who had been serving previously.
So tell me a little bit about maybe first of all, as you decided to go ahead and participate and step up and be a part of this checkoff board effort. What got you interested in doing that, first of all?
I served approximately 11 years on the Oklahoma Sorghum Commission, and a couple of those years I was chairman, and I was found out all the things that sorghum industry had been doing through the association and the checkoff sides, and it just influenced my wanting to be part of the action.
Let's talk a little bit about meetings here this year, Commodity Class. You've already had some meetings of the checkoff board. You've got a planning work, I know, in progress now. What are some things that the sorghum folks are actually putting money toward from the checkoff dollars collected from producers?
We've got many new things coming down the pike. There's been over 44 new variety lines released through the ARS station in Lubbock, Texas. We've been funding that research, and we voted yesterday to continue more research there. There's other projects are with the ethanol industry, which over half of the crop goes to, and we put on Sorghum University for over 400 producers in Lubbock, Texas, Dodge City, Kansas, and in Nebraska. We've also sponsored the sorghum leadership class, which is 15 young producers to kind of groom them into the taking leadership positions in the sorghum industry.
When you start thinking about some of the research that you all fund, you mentioned some production research. Obviously, you're looking for those varieties that will be more adapted to various parts of the country, including right in Oklahoma.
Right. They're looking for new varieties, hybrids that will work in Oklahoma and Texas, Kansas, wherever, nationwide, North Carolina even. We're trying to get there's been new releases coming out of ARS, gone to many seed companies on the greatly increase yield, standability. Also, there's some that have, when they get mature, they will actually die, and so that you don't have to worry about dry down. And there's multiple different aspects of different traits we're looking at.
I know that the EPA, of course, has recently designated the sorghum as an advanced biofuel stock. You mentioned ethanol is an important part of the marketplace for grain sorghum. What does this new designation really mean from what you're understanding?
There are many ethanol plants that are looking to go to a higher level of sorghum or completely to sorghum instead of using corn in their ethanol rations. The advanced biofuel status gives them a smart choice for a drought-tolerant crop. They like the sustainability of sorghum. And with the advanced biofuel status, it gives them a little bit leg up on corn.
I know that the checkoff body, your board, is actually also, I guess, allocated some dollars, you could say, to some of the things that are going on with food grade or food uses for sorghum as well.
Yes, I'm the chairman this year of the High Value Markets Committee, which oversees food grade sorghums, pet foods, any other kind of odd, any of the multiple uses for sorghum that don't fit under the ethanol or the new variety developments. There's many things with the gluten-free and celiac disease people that it's growing approximately 20% a year in market share for the gluten-free products.
Of course, that's sorghum obviously is a good choice for that with no gluten in the product.
Right. Sorghum's a smart choice for the food the gluten-free tolerant folks that need a different product out there. And many food companies are investigating picking up sorghum flour as to substitute into their rations.
Right. James, one of the things that the son of sorghum has kind of prided itself on, at least in recent years, is that you've stayed away from development of GMOs, and you've actually tried to use that as a marketing advantage, that you offer a product, a choice to consumers, that they don't have to worry about a GMO-type variety.
Right, right. For a number of years, we've stayed... Excuse me. For a number of years, we've stayed away from the GMO status, and that gives us a leg into other markets around the world, along with the food status. Even the ethanol plants are liking the non-GMO status of our crop, that they can use it in their marketing also.
As far as, you know, looking ahead, what are you hearing from, you know, talking to other folks? I know that we've had a real challenge on acres in our state, but also in other states as well. Any optimism out there from talking to some of your fellow producers about more acres this year?
After the dry weather the last couple of years, many producers, especially in West Texas, West Kansas, are looking to use sorghum where the water, irrigation water, is dropping, and they're being rationed on how much water they can use. Even in dry land conditions, many people are looking for sorghum as a drought-tolerant crop. It's a smart choice to put under those conditions, and speaking with seed representatives from the seed industry, sorghum seed sales are plenty tight this year. So if you're looking to plant sorghum, you better buy your seed.